The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. Revelation 18, 1. It has always been our custom at Maranatha Church to give believers a few moments in which to evaluate themselves to be sure that they're in fellowship with the right mental attitude, putting aside whatever it is that's a source of distraction to you, and focus your attention on the lesson and information that is about to be presented to you. Rebound as often as you need to. Keep yourself in fellowship. This is the only way to go on the straight and narrow. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, since man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from your mouth, we have assembled ourselves together to receive those things that are necessary to our orientation, to the plan that we are so privileged to be a part of. Bless this class to that end, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Revelation chapter 18, the first angelic announcement in connection with the other Babylon. The two Babylons of the book of Revelation, the Roman Catholic Church, and the United States of America. After these things, this is shifts us from the preceding information with regard to the destruction of the Roman Catholic Church by none other than the Antichrist in the first half of the tribulation. After these things refer, of course, to the previous, I saw another angel. Of course, this is the adjective, another of the same kind, an elect angel, coming down from heaven. Katabino, come down from Uranus, heaven. This angel having great authority. Having is the participle, to have. Authority is exousia, with the adjective megas, great. And the earth, G-E, earth, was illumined. Every part of this earth will be lit up when this angel comes down. Aorist, passive indicative, photizo, means to illumine, with, from the source of, ek, his doxa, glory. Wow. As I will point out to you, this angel makes this descent, to the earth, right on the heels of the rapture of the church. The rapture will occur, and this angel will descend and light up everything everywhere. That's the background to this information. One, John, with his angel guide, turns to yet another Babylon and her overthrow. Clearly, the evidence in this chapter points to the dominant economic power going into the tribulation, as per verses 9 through 19. This chapter contains three main divisions. First, A, the first angelic announcement of judgment on Babylon, 1 through 3. B, a voice from heaven preceding her fall, 4 through 20. That's the extended passage. And a second angelic announcement on her of her judgment, 21 through 24. An angel different from the last plague angel of chapter 17 enters the vision to describe and dramatize the downfall of the great commercial system of the tribulation. The greatest, arguably, the greatest commercial system in human history up to this point, the United States of America, really has no peers. There has been other very wealthy nations and empires, but this one is at the top, as far as I can tell. The words, after these things, in this instance, indicates that which comes next in the sequence of visions John received. 6, after these things introduces in Revelation, something new and denotes a new set of circumstances. The Babylon of chapter 17 is a religious entity, clearly. It's a religious entity that is dependent upon national rulers, e.g. kings of the earth, for her worldwide evil. The Babylon of this chapter is the primary economic pillar for the kings of the earth due to her unsurpassed economic prowess. The nation that fits this role is the USA. No one else comes close. Yes, there are other nations with wealth, but nothing when you take all of our history into consideration. While both are designated Babylon the Great, 17:5, 18:2, each is different and separate. The Roman Catholic Church fits the data in chapter 17, while the USA fits the data here and in various Old Testament chapters, not to exclude others, but prominent in the Old Testament, is Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51, dealing with Babylon in code. This nation was not even anywhere close to coming into existence when Jeremiah and when Revelation was written. This was just a continent with tribes on it. Nothing to speak of in that regard. Both entities possess immense wealth gained from different sources. The first system's wealth is plundered as spoil, while the wealth of the system in this chapter is contaminated and rendered unapproachable through fire, nuclear ruination. It's the only thing that fits all the data. And so here we are, 50 years after God blessed us with this breakthrough on our 200th anniversary as a nation. I taught this for the very first time. We weren't on this property. And it was well received by people who are patriots and caught up in all of it. I did not receive, that to my knowledge, any in my face opposition. None. I even remember the testimonies of some believers, how it saddened them, but it made all the sense in the world. So more on the comparisons and contrasts as we move through the exegesis. And we're starting this just in time for our 250th anniversary. when all the scriptural evidence is amassed, it will become clear, or it should, that the Babylon of chapter 18 is an end-time nation, of course it is, with a leader, a final leader, a racially mixed populace based on unprecedented immigration in her history. A military-industrial complex. A location in the midst of the seas. That's a geographical reference. We do exist as a nation in the midst of the seas. Atlantic, Pacific, and Gulf of Mexico. And we certainly are a racially mixed population. And material affluency that has been the envy of the world, along with other characteristics that point to the USA. You could not, for money, name another nation on earth that fits this depiction. Period. More details come out, the clearer it gets. I don't know which one is at the top of my list, but it's up there. What great commercial, economic nation has been built on immigration from the nations? People move around, but not like what we're talking about. And you can study the history of immigration into the United States of America. We even have a statue symbolizing it. Statue there on Ellis Island. Holding up her torch. And there's a saying, we welcome all the downtrodden and this and that and all the rest of it. The Statue of Liberty. I saw online you can buy a cap to celebrate the 250th anniversary. It has on it the animal that is the symbol of the United States, the eagle. It has on it the Liberty Bell. And of course it has on it the Statue of Liberty on Ellis Island. All those three things, all colorful. I saw you could purchase it online. I didn't order one. But that was all that was on there. An eagle, the Statue of Liberty, and the Liberty Bell. In this, we'll see major interaction with the merchants of the earth, e.g. trade, 18, 3, 11, 15, and 23. And those connected with the sea, bringing stuff into the country. We're a huge importer of goods from around the world. We used to call Walmart China Mart. But this coming from all these other places. You can get food from all over from Italy, clothing, automobiles, that, and I haven't even scratched the surface, that are available. We are a huge consumer civilization. We do things bigger than others. If we do Christmas, it's way over the top compared to other countries in spending and acquiring things. We find a way to market just darn near anything. any holiday, event, materialism, commercialism, acquiring, getting stuff. So major interaction with the merchants of the earth and those connected with the sea characterized the Babylon of this chapter, but is missing from chapter 17. Chapter 18 attributes the sin of arrogant is missing from the previous chapter, though that system is arrogant. 18, the lamentation of specific outsiders, especially those who traded with Babylon. 2, at her fall is expected and with a commercial entity, 9 through 11. The reaction. We're going to study the various reactions around the world and in heaven to the total annihilation of this country. In what might be said an unprecedented fashion, based on its size, based on the kind of weaponry that is going to be thrown at it, and so forth. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Nineteen, the economic prosperity and luxury of this Babylon is indicative of what we see in the U.S., as we will note in these verses. 20, this Babylon is noted for her elite ruling class that consists of merchants. Verse 23. As will be seen in other scriptures, the geographical location of the two Babylons of Revelation is different. The angel who pronounces judgment is apparently different from the one who served as John's guide in the previous chapter. His function is to announce the overthrow of commercial Babylon. In other words, to make a worldwide pronouncement. Everybody will hear it. And it won't happen the instant he says it. Some other things have to transpire to build up to the actual event of the nuclear annihilation of the United States of America. I've noticed online they're talking about what cities in the U.S. are the best to be in if we come under nuclear attack. And they talk about it. It's in the air. It's been in the air since the nuclear age, but it's in the air more and more. What nation has the technological expertise and this type of weaponry to pull this off? We'll get to it. This new angelic agent resemble those who descend from heaven to carry out specific missions as in 10:1 and 21. His resemblance to the angel in 10:1 is especially close. This angel carries the same message as the second angel, 14:8. That angel announces the overthrow of Babylon the Great, which is the same Babylon as the one in our chapter, though it could be argued that is the Babylon of chapter 17. The angel of 18:1. I don't see any place where there's an angelic announcement of the overthrow of the Catholic Church. The angel of 18:1 is granted great authority. God is the supreme authority, and God bestows authority on people to match his assignment of announcing the fall of America. This is an angel that's up there high in the ranks of angels. and he's specific that he would be chosen, considering the object of it, of the destruction. This is apropos, since the demise of America will be unprecedented among the great empires of human history. Unprecedented. Nothing like it before. Other nations have fallen, have been destroyed, but nothing to this degree and extent and speed. Unprecedented. Once the destruction commences, it'll be a very short time before it's over. He will first gain the undivided attention of the whole community by illuminating the whole earth. Can you imagine one angel being able to light up every place on earth with his glory? And everybody is transfixed. Again, as I said, this occurs, it has to, for reasons that will be brought up. This announcement has to occur, obviously, prior to the destruction. He's announcing a judgment. And it has to come very early on, considering the directive will of God that he'll have for Americans once this announcement is made. And another announcement follows, giving American citizens instructions as to exit. Reverse immigration. Get out of here. Or die the sin and the death in a nuclear holocaust. At some point early in the trib, during the time of the first seal, rider on the white horse, the earth will be bathed in light, and this angel will proceed to make an announcement. The light will get everyone's attention. So I guess when it's dispersed out, everybody can process the language of the angel and know what is being said. Now, going back to our earlier, each of the three angelic pronouncements of 14, 6 through 9 are intended to evangelize, gospel one. Let's give everybody a gospel hearing as we step into the tribulation. Announce America's overthrow, second, the announcement that follows that, and warn humanity not to take the mark of the beast. So see, God gives people a heads up with regard to his directive will. Like it or not, they'll all hear it. Everybody, everywhere, in their own language, will get the information they need. We'll call it your survival kit in the tribulation. Your spiritual and even physical survival kit. It's been sitting here in the book of Revelation, but it'll be brought out into the open. So there's these three announcements. Evangelize the world. Announce America's overthrow. And warn humanity about taking the mark of the beast. Perhaps this announcement will come just before the destruction of America, as is the case with the activity of the angel in verse 21. I'll leave that for what it's worth. The glory of this angel is such Again, that it will illumine the entire world in preparation for the announcement that follows in verses 2 and 3. The indictment against America is so stupendous, demanding a corresponding manifestation of angelic glory. The glory of this angel matches what is going to transpire on this earth with regard to the United States and the effect, the ripple effect, that it will have all over the earth, everywhere. We will see the reactions of people to the destruction of America. A lot of people are going to celebrate. Everybody in heaven's going to celebrate. The biggest American patriot that was ever on earth is going to celebrate the destruction of his country. All heaven will celebrate when it actually occurs. Yeah, it's amazing. Nobody will be, the ones down here that I get that's at the forefront of those that are upset are those whose cash cow has been destroyed. The merchants of the earth. They don't have this outlet anymore. It's over. And it's a big hit. In fact, they'd even be afraid to come near the shores of this country with all this radioactive going on. Whenever you study the book of Revelation, like I've tried to do over the years, it's pretty intimidating. It's pretty hard to get your head wrapped around all the things that are going to be going on this earth. But we'll be in heaven, and we won't feel that kind of a pressure. But it involves a all these things that I brought to your attention thus far in the book of Revelation will at various points, dividing the trib into the first half and the second half, be going on. The judgment against America is so suspendous, demanding a corresponding manifestation of angelic glory, which is derived from the Creator. Night will be turned to day, and day will be superseded by this light this angel will emit. This light is like the light that emanated from Moses' face after seeing the glory of God when he went up to get the law. The glory from his skin in his face was so intense that you couldn't look at him, like someone shoving a bright flashlight in your face or something. The glory of God. This angel reflects and has this same glory. Now, what's the announcement? The worldwide announcement, when he's got everybody's attention with his bright light, and he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, Kradzo, aorist indicative, to cry out with an iskouros, the adjective, strong phoné voice, saying, fallen, fallen, aorist indicative of pipto, followed by a second aorist indicative of pipto. He's going to announce this. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. All right, now we're going to get a reason. She has become something. It didn't happen overnight. She became something with the passage of time. In all the decades and the centuries of her history, from her birth as a nation in 1776 and onward up to the present time, marking the 250th anniversary. She has become, here it's indicative of Genomai, a dwelling place. Kat oi katerion. It's a noun. It means a habitat. Two times here and in Ephesians 2:22. Of demons. Daimonion, demons. And a prison. Phulake, a prison of every pos, unclean, athartos, unclean, pneuma, spirit. And a prison, this is a different type of prison, and a prison, phulake, of every unclean, as we had above with the spirit, this referring to humans, akathartos, unclean, bird, ornion, of every unclean and hateful bird, something to be detested. Perfect passive participle, miseo. Okay. The mighty voice of the angel recalls the loud voice of the angels making the announcements in chapter 14. Again, the whole world will hear this announcement on the eve of the fall of the United States. Now, I have to qualify this. How much time elapses from the announcement to the execution of the announcement? That's a question. And I'm just trying to pinpoint some of these things exactly on the tribulational timeline is... I have some questions with regard to some of the things. The whole world will hear this announcement on the eve of the fall of the U.S. Presuming that's the case. How close up to it, it would seem that the announcement and the execution of the judgment ought to go pretty close together, I would think. The participle saying introduces the substance of the angel's pronouncement. The opening words of the announcement are identical with the announcement of 14:8. Both echo Isaiah 21:9 and Jeremiah 51:8, which deal with the overthrow of economic Babylon, not historical or ancient Babylon. Babylon in the Bible, and the one found in Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter 21. Now behold, here comes a troop of riders, horsemen in pairs. And one said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon, and all the images of her gods are shattered on the ground." The Jeremiah 51, verse 8, suddenly, Babylon has fallen and been broken. Wail over her. Bring balm for her pain. This is sarcasm. Perhaps she may be healed. We applied healing to Babylon, but she would not be healed. In other words, America will not recover her reversionism. Although we applied healing to Babylon, she was not healed. Forsake her and let us each go to his own country. For her judgment has reached to heaven and towers up to the very skies. Her judgment will match her crimes, her sins, and the population all the way up to the leaders, all of it. Nations are held accountable like individuals. And she will build up this wrath that's coming and going to fall on her. Just like the system we studied in the previous. The twofold repetition of the proleptic aorist fallen expresses absolute certainty. Fallen, fallen. Absolute certainty. So praying that America will get her Christian heritage restored is a waste of time, is a complete waste of time, and is strange incense. It ain't going to happen. You can pray your eyes out. It's already set in stone. Like old ancient Assyria that did recover, we could, but we're not going to. We're already told up front, we won't. The Christian population and the people are not going to turn to and repudiate their sins and what they've been doing. Forget it. So apparently we aren't the indispensable nation. Tiny Israel will survive. We won't. I say we, this country. You and I will be out of here. It's called the rapture. We get out the easy way. We get out the really nifty way. The rest, they're going to have to relocate or die in a nuclear holocaust. Because when all the dust is settled, there will not be one living person squirreled away somewhere in the mountains or in the United States. Some people, obviously, those that get hit directly, you know, a nuclear missile hitting the center of a big city, everybody, this just wipes it out. And people in more remote areas, they will die of nuclear poisoning. We'll get to that. Again, these words echo the judgment against this end-time entity as seen in various Old Testament prophecies. And at point 7 right there, I'll look those up for you and read them real quick after our break.